Welcome, 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 sports nerds, to this beautiful steel book receptacle. That's right, kids. You are inside the locker with us here on oneofus.net. This is the weekly sportscast conducted by four guys who seemingly have no business enjoying sports. We have been stuffed into the lockers by the jocks in high school, but we studied up on sports while we were in there, and now we got game. And not just Grand Theft Auto or Cards Against Humanity. I am your host, Brian Salisbury. I lead the league in something. I am joined by the other three stone-cold faces of Mount Nerdmore. First, J.C. DeLeon.
Hello.
And then Elliot, the lawyer Fontanette.
What is up?
And then our neighbor, Adam Charles.
Hello.
Who is, for all intents and purposes, Batman. So that's a cool thing that's happened.
Darkness.
No. Dead parents. First try.
Yeah.
Super rich.
Super rich. Makes it better.
Kind of makes it better. If you haven't seen the Lego movie, go see the Lego movie immediately. Yeah. So, gentlemen, have you been having a fun-to-do week so far?
Yeah, just busy as all hell, but good week.
Yeah.
Watched LeBron James hit a dagger of a three-point game-winning shot last night.
We are less than 2 minutes into the show, and JC has already brought up LeBron James. I think that's a new record. I think before Elliot mentioned Pacific Rim or LSU.
Man.
Or Pacific Rim. Or LSU.
I'm just saying, that shot.
Yeah. Yeah, but that shot, though. You're all scum, and I love you. I want to remind you guys that this show, just like all of our content on oneofus.net, is available on iTunes. Just search for One of Us in the podcast section. We're also available on Twitter. You can follow the show at ITLcast. Hey, if you like the show, if you like what we do here on One of Us, why not become a subscriber? You can give $1 to $25 every month or just make a one-time donation. And even if you make a monthly donation, you can cancel that at any time if something changes. It's what helps us keep the lights on here at oneofus.net. And as we continue to grow and bring you more and more content, it becomes vital that, you know, we have these subscriptions coming in, because the great problem that we have is that as more people are listening and we're growing as a site, unfortunately it becomes more expensive month to month to run the site. So it's a good problem to have, but at the same time, it is, in fact, a logistical problem. So you can either become a subscriber, or another way you can support the site is by buying one of our commentaries. Watch a movie with us. I think the latest one we did was...
I thought it was Die Hard.
I think it may have been. Was it Die Hard? It was probably Die Hard. But we did just select the winner, the three worst films. I think I'll go ahead and announce those just for shits and giggles.
I was actually curious about that.
Yeah, so what we did is in our forums, which is just forum.oneofus.net, there is we had a poll running about, you know, what were the worst movies of 2013, and we let you guys vote. And then what we said is we're going to take the top three choices. We are going to do commentaries for each of those, and the first two will be free. So number three and number two, those commentaries will be free. And then the number one is only $1.99. So basically, for $1.99, you're getting three commentaries.
It's a good deal.
And the three unlucky winners were number three, Grown Ups 2.
Ugh, yeah. Smart.
Oh, boy. Number two, R.I.P.D.
Ugh, and the worst movie of the year.
The number one worst movie, as selected by the fans in the forums, A Good Day to Die Hard. Oh, boy, will that be fun. But yeah, that's...
Brian might burst into flames.
I might. I very well might. But that was part of the fun of it, is like, what movies do you want to subject us to? And you have spoken, and you are heartless, sadistic bastards, and I kind of love that about all of you.
R.I.P.D. is a huge pile of shit.
You're not going to do that consecutively, are you?
No. Yeah. We're going to have to take breaks, because otherwise, by the time we got to Good Day to Die Hard, we'd just be like, oh.
Yeah,
blah, blah,
blah. Just watch Shawshank Redemption in the middle of all those.
Yeah, we'll watch good movies as palate cleansers, or we'll just get blind, stinking drunk, whichever comes first. So yeah, that's going on. Those commentaries will become available soon. Just another way you can support the site. You can also shop at our store, which is right there on the front page. Lots of different ways you can get involved and help us keep the lights on. We really appreciate it. We got a great show for you tonight. We got some news to tackle, as well as the long-awaited resolution-ish of the Inside the Locker Fantasy Football Challenge. So that's going to be a lot of fun coming up in the second half of the show. But instead of continuing to babble like a half-drunk Gungan, I'm just going to go ahead and get started.
Flash, the Captain and Mrs. America, and all the ships at SeaQuest. These are the scores and stories.
Stop the press.
And the first item we have on our agenda is that the Winter Games are currently in full swing over in Sochi, Russia. So so chi that you thought I was a Taoist. What the fuck are the Olympics? Can someone explain this to me? I know that's something that happens every 4 years. So.
The Olympics or these Olympics? Winter Olympics.
I can't, I understand that there's Winter and Summer Olympics. I understand that they're born of, like, you know, ancient Greece and the Olympic Games. And
Well, that's the Summer Olympics.
Oh, okay.
The Winter Olympics is a corporate creation.
So it's white guys who are good at sports, too. So put them in the snow.
So fittingly, as we record this on February 13th, fittingly, it's like the Valentine's Day of sporting events because it was manufactured entirely by corporations to sell things.
Yeah, but it is an opportunity. I'm going to get made fun of so bad for saying this.
That's okay. It was going to happen anyway.
Yeah. Every 4 years, I do like to watch ice skating, and so I get to watch ice skating for
Elliot,
a few weeks.
Elliot.
I know.
Elliot.
I know.
There is no way that it is just once every 4 years that you're watching ice skating. I refuse to believe that.
Nope. Oh, every 4 years, just ice skating.
How often do you watch The Cutting Edge?
I haven't seen it.
So instead of a leap year, you have like a triple sow cow year. Right? Yeah. So like every 4 years, you're just watching ice skating.
Hey, there was an ice skater that I think ice skated to Pony the other night.
By Genuine. Well, come on and let's do it then.
You know what? That is a guilty pleasure of mine, too.
Okay.
What part of that sentence is the guilty pleasure?
All of it.
It's like, Pony isn't a guilty pleasure. That, when you get a girl, that's the song.
Adam, I love ponies.
I actually kind of dig everything except for the ice skating. All the skiing events are cool. And super insanely dangerous, and why would anyone do this?
Okay,
skeleton.
The ski long jump. What the fuck is the point of that?
Like, hurl yourself at the ground as fast as you possibly can.
Fuck gravity.
And this is the thing. It's a bunch of events that it's like, how do you get better at this?
Is it not just Earth? Like, you're.
Yeah,
you're subject to Earth.
Well, you've seen Willy Wonka. You take some of the fizzy lifting drink, and then you just set off, and you hope that gravity
doesn't
catch you.
The skeleton and the luge are essentially the same race. It's just one you're in an apparatus, and the other one you're not.
I also think it's funny that every year the line between the Winter Olympics and the X Games gets blurrier and blurrier.
That's a really good point.
It's like there's a snowboard half pipe in the Winter Olympics.
Yeah.
You can be a gold medalist in getting stoned and riding a snowboard. I don't understand this.
I'll never forget 4 years ago, I don't remember if he was the gold or the silver winner, but he was from the U.S. in the snowboarding, lost his medal because he tested positive for marijuana.
Jesus Christ!
And people were shocked.
How are you shocked?
I mean, I gotta imagine that at least half of the events that take place in the Winter Olympics, they were all conceived while drunk.
Which is funny because it's in Russia this year. So it's like, I'll tell you what event we should have. The one with the one ski, and they go back and forth, and like they have pipe.
There is one event, Moose
and Squirrel will compete.
Moose and Squirrel.
Jesus
there
Christ.
There is one event that is based on, I think, an army drill.
Curling!
No. Well, they ski down and they take a rifle off of their shoulder and then have to shoot.
The biathlon.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
But it's such a weird combination of things. Yeah. Like skiing and firing a gun?
Yeah.
What the shit is that?
I tell you, though, there was a story. Norway in World War II, it was Norway or Finland, repelled all the Russians during World War II because they were trying to take them with just a fraction of the army, just like 2% of what Russia had.
I'm just thinking about other weird combinations of things that could become like bobsledding and juggling in one event. Like, what the cross-country skiing and killing things, which, first of all, sounds
Shane
like...
Shane Black developed that.
Well, that's a good point. That's a good point. Well, since movies, comic books, TV, and the major sports that we watch occupy most of our attention, it leaves barely enough room for beer, let alone, you know, makes us woefully underversed in the Olympics, which is why we're about to play Events We Just Learned Aren't Part of the Winter Games.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong.
It is not real, much like the events that we're going to break down here. The first one on my list, I'm very shocked to find out this wasn't part of the Winter Olympics repertoire, dwarf tossing. Like, I thought maybe they would line up a bunch of elves, and then a bunch of Gimlies would come in, and then you would see, you know, how far one of the elves could chuck a dwarf. Apparently nobody throws a dwarf, but I've seen that motherfucker throw a dwarf, so...
Yeah, does it have to go across a precipice, or is it like shot put? With the guy with the beard.
It's all about distance. Like, and you can use the beard, right? You can, and you spin them around and
oh, like the hammer throw.
Yeah, like the hammer throw, exactly.
Yeah.
Please hammer throw. Don't hurt that dwarf.
Jesus Christ.
So, JC, what event were you surprised to learn wasn't part of the Winter Olympics?
One is an event that only Vladimir Putin signed up for, so strange.
Gay bashing?
No, snow leopard wrestling. Right before the Olympics started, there was a video of him going to this, like, rescue sanctuary for wild cats. And there's a snow leopard that's, like, getting pissed off at everybody except for Vladimir Putin. And so he's the only one who's, like, treating him like a regular house cat.
Fucking commie snow leopard.
Yeah, so he's the only one who won the gold medal.
How long have I been saying that? You've known me for a long time, JC. How many times have I told you never trust a snow leopard because those animals are fucking commies?
All the time.
All the time is the correct answer. That is the right prompt. Good job. Elliot, what event were you surprised to learn wasn't part of the Olympic Games?
The Totoro jump.
The Totoro jump?
Yeah, it's where you get on Totoro's chest and mm-hmm. he just sort of rappels you off and you see how far you can go.
So it's like the bag in Heavyweights. Yeah. I like it. Adam, how about you?
At jump roping.
Wait a minute. Okay, now there's just two possible events here. There's AT-AT jump roping and AT-ST jump roping. I would think AT-ST jump roping would be easier, right?
Well, it would be easier, but then it wouldn't be a sport.
It's also not as fun to say as at jump rope.
At jump rope, yeah.
At jump roping. I mean, I don't know. You can either – it can be – I think it should be a thing on technique.
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not you can get over the rope.
Right. Well, yeah, that's the thing is the four-legged ones tend to get wrapped up in cables and fall over. Yeah. So, yeah. No, I was, you know, I'm surprised to hear that myself.
It's like equestrian.
Indeed it is. Uphill ice skating, which is it's very difficult, but oddly a popular sport because everybody apparently keeps trying to ice skate uphill.
Yeah. Essentially, they got them all together.
Yeah.
Like it.
So, according to one,
every motherfucker tries to ice skate uphill.
Some motherfucker's always trying to ice skate uphill. And apparently, you can ice skate uphill all you want, you just can't do it in the Winter Games, which I think is kind of a travesty. But yeah.
That's actually how the announcer's saying it. It's like, this motherfucker is trying to ice skate uphill, and he did it very well. Or he did it poorly.
It's the color commentator.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh, he's just like, oh, well, he tried to ice skate uphill, and he did a remarkable job with it. And this motherfucker trying to ice skate uphill is just, he's awful.
It's like, look at this motherfucker.
Look at this motherfucker. JC?
Another event that Vladimir Putin invented.
Are you sure it's not gay bashing?
Nope. Championship ring pickpocketing.
Wait, say that again?
Championship ring pickpocketing.
Because he stole crap, yeah. Robert. Wow, that's a callback to, like, our first episode.
Yep, he's also the only one who entered that event, too. So, two gold medals for Vladimir Putin.
Putin on the gold, that's for sure. If you remember, on our very first show, we talked about this bizarre story in which Patriots owner Robert Kraft, for some reason, was flown to Russia to meet Vladimir Putin. Like, that is not indication that the Patriots are in league with evil. I don't know what is. Literally, we're bringing the owner of the New England Patriots to meet one of the, you know, borderline most evil dictators that are currently, you know, in power. Yeah, anyway, so...
What's also weird about it, you'll notice, not about winter.
Yeah, not about winter at all. And it's funny, because while he was there, he showed, like, oh, yeah, Putin's like, I would like to see you under the Super Bowl ring. And he hands it to him, he's like, okay, thank you, it's mine now. It's like a cartoon. It's like a fucking cartoon. And yet, that's exactly how it happens. Like, okay, I keep now. He's like, and Robert Kraft was apparently like, the KGB will murder me if I say anything to the contrary. So, that's your ring now. Elliot.
Mine would be the... You know, I had it in my mind before you said that. It just, like, left my mind. Come back to me in a second.
All right, Adam, okay. What do you think?
My next pick would be the Kevin McAllister obstacle course.
We were talking about this earlier about how Joe Pesci in Casino, Robert De Niro is talking about how, you know, if you beat him with a bat, he comes at you with a knife. You beat him with a knife, he comes at you with a gun. And if you beat him with a gun, you better kill him because he'll keep coming back and coming back. And Elliot was like, but a paint can apparently will just do him in completely. Like, yeah. That is how you thwart Joe Pesci.
I mean, Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern, obviously they have the edge. You know, they've gone through it before. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it'd be nice to see how other people could actually handle the Kevin McAllister tricks and tips.
Yeah. No, I would pay to see that. It would be like a sports version of The Collector. Elliot, did you remember your event?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Mine is Nancy Kerrigan fencing.
Oh God. Jesus Christ.
You only get points for hitting somebody in the knee.
Yeah, but that could really handicap somebody. Sorry.
And you have to make them scream, why?
Why?
Why? Well,
it's because you're kind of annoying. That's why. You're a figure skater. Nothing personal. I mean, even Elliot, who likes figure skating, only watches it once every 4 years. It's just kind of the way it is.
And to be fair, the only reason I really got into figure skating is I had the biggest crush on Christian Yamaguchi back in the day.
I'm actually kind of surprised that you mentioned a girl's name when you said that.
I knew you were like, wait for it.
I was like, wait for it? Okay.
What would Brian Bartano do?
Does figure skating even happen not every other 4 years?
What do they do
the other three?
We train day and night and are deprived of their childhoods. So it's awesome.
So it's like the winter version of gymnastics.
Yeah. Yes, it is indeed. JC, did you have another one? Are we tapped?
Shirtless biathlon, which is also another event that Vladimir Putin only does by himself.
I'm sensing a thing. Wait. What was it?
The shirtless biathlon.
The shirtless biathlon?
The regular biathlon with the skiing and the shooting, you just do it without a shirt.
So is there a women's event for this?
Nope. Vladimir Putin's the only one who can enter.
You know what? No, I feel like America has a shot in that one. If Matthew McConaughey is allowed to participate in the Winter Games, I feel like America has a shot at the gold.
Well, there you go.
All right.
Maybe Paul Ryan.
Corey Coleman.
Paul Ryan. Adam, do you have another one?
Yeah, you know what? Let's go with fiction writer leg breaking.
What? Fiction writer leg breaking.
Yeah, so I was a big fan. I was a big fan of Misery.
Okay.
And I feel like there's a lot of Kathy Bates. I feel like there's a lot of international Kathy Bates women who don't get the opportunity to, you know.
Please keep going. This is amazing.
No, keep on going. It's funny.
It's an international Kathy Bates committee. They just go around the world looking for international versions of Kathy Bates.
Because nobody else would.
Except for maybe Putin.
Well, I mean, because we've got the Kathy Bates,
right?
You know, Imelda Staunton.
We have an unfair advantage in that regard. Imelda Staunton. Oh my God, that should not be as funny as it is. It's so good.
And I'm sure there's a writer out there who we don't like very much who would just offer up his legs. You know.
Nobody.
Why not?
Offer up, hold him down.
Nobody wants to be Kathy Bates. Like, Jack Nicholson's like, been there, hit that. So, like, it's like, we're done with Kathy Bates. And yet there is, I like imagining that there is this, like, this ruling body that goes around the country like, I don't know if she's quite up to Kathy Bates standards.
Well, there was that one woman from League of Their Own.
Marla
Hooch.
Marla Hooch.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Also qualifies.
Actually, Rosie O'Donnell's probably a better contender for whatever this weird Kathy Bates category is. Okay.
God, I'm laughing too much. I keep forgetting what I was going to say.
No, it's fine. I think we pretty much...
No, I got one more.
You got one more.
I got one more. Pint curling.
Pint curling?
You know when a bartender will slide the beer down to you at the end of the bar?
Nice. But you train for it by playing Tapper, old school arcade game.
And if it falls over, you lose, but the closer you get to the actual patron, the better your score.
See, I've been doing pint curling since I turned 21. I just curl my bicep directly into my face hole, and that's how the beer gets in. And that is how science works.
I'm surprised you didn't go with the masturbation joke.
No, because I used the other hand for that. So thank you for indulging us in a game of events we just learned aren't part of the Winter Games.
And since I made so many Putin jokes, if I disappear, you guys know what happened.
Yeah, no.
No, we don't.
We're very much aware of it.
I'm not going to say anything.
Good.
You laughed at the jokes, too.
I laughed at verbal
Elliot's
speech.
Like, hey, JC, what's that, a bus?
Kathy Bates will protect you.
Hey, look, if I see Carrie
the
Russell...
The power of Bates protects you!
Hey, look, if I see Carrie Russell around the corner, I'm giving her to you.
Yeah, I just started watching
I'm giving
show.
You to her.
Good job. One way or another.
Either way.
No, I just watched all of the Americans like in a day in that series.
You've watched every American in one
Are
day?
Are you the NSA?
I am Obama's lost nephew, so maybe.
Yeah, that's true. Well, the second thing we need to talk about is Michael Sam, who's a defensive end for the University of Missouri, has come out as he is openly gay. Now, the thing about Michael Sam is that he is the SEC Defensive Player of the Year and is a high prospect for the draft, like slated to go in the first round. And frankly, I mean, I think I can speak for all of us when I say that our general mood here is good for him. Like, that's awesome. Like, I'm glad that you don't have to hide that anymore. And, you know, the sad fact of it is, in terms of all professional sports, the NFL is probably the most, you know, it's the biggest Luddite of all of them when it comes to, like, progressive issues like this. I mean, we've had players and owners and coaches that have come out in this really kind of pathetically tiptoe around their own issues way and say things like, the NFL isn't ready to accept a gay player. I'm sorry, what they're really saying is, I'm not ready to accept a gay player. And they're trying to kind of, like, cast the blame on the system. It's like, okay, let me just break down this argument for a second. What you're saying is that prejudice is institutionalized, and that's why he won't be accepted. But you're not acknowledging the fact that by saying that, you are perpetuating the institutionalized prejudice.
I mean, the fact is that you're the owner. So if you just wanted to go out and say, you know what, who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
Then people are going to follow that. But the fact that you actually make it a thing, that makes it stay a thing.
Exactly. Like,
it gives credence to the people beneath you to feel it is the way, to feel however they feel. If you just came out and said, it's a non-issue, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
If he plays well, he plays well. I'm going to pay him money so he can go out there and play well.
Yeah.
So that's really all it's going to come down to, even probably in the locker room, is – I don't give a shit what you do outside of when you go home and you have sex with whoever you want to have sex with. I don't care.
Yeah.
Just go out there, be a teammate, and we'll move on.
Well, it's so disingenuous because we've had players get DWI arrests, beat their wives, kill the shit out of dogs.
Okay, yeah, that's the thing. Is John Stewart, as well as actually a Dallas sportscaster, Dale Hansen, hit the nail directly on the head with this issue, because what they basically said is the NFL is more than happy to throw open its arms and welcome guys charged with vehicular manslaughter, domestic assault, screaming racial slurs, sexual assault, and murdering dogs, but a gay guy, no thank you! Like, fuck off, you bigots.
He's sort of weird, like, he puts it in the wrong place, and
it's the most ridiculous, like, any other situation, as long as that guy can play, Michael Vick still has a starting job in the NFL. Can we talk about how fucked up that is for a second?
Yeah.
But no, we can't have this gay player, and the NFL isn't quote-unquote ready to accept a gay player. It's like, no, you need to pull your heads out of your asses is the problem.
Well, you know, Michael Vick's a perfect example, because here's a guy who rightfully went to jail for what he did, got out of jail, and you know what? I personally think you pay your debt to society, you should be allowed to be employed. But he already made a mistake and they let him back in.
Yeah.
This guy hasn't done anything wrong.
Right.
He's just been who he is.
Right. And that's the thing is he's committed no, like, you know, unless you're, you know, a Bible thumper, like, there's nothing he's done wrong.
Yeah.
Like, he has committed no crime here.
How and dare yet, he try to live his life in his own time?
You know what? This whole thing about the way that they look at other, like, you know, like, they look at people who have committed all these crimes and welcome them. It's like that scene in the Mos Eisley Cantina. You have a bar full of bounty hunters, thieves, and even guys with the death sentence on 12 systems, but droids aren't allowed in? What the fuck? A major adjustment to the collective moral compass of the National Football League is desperately needed, because basically, we don't serve your kind is exactly what they're saying. You think about the bullshit that is spewing from these idiots' mouths, including, unfortunately, Sam's own father, who said things like, you know, I'm an old-school type, and I believe in a man-woman situation, and I think Deacon Jones is rolling over in his grave. And it's like, yeah, your son told you he was gay by text, which leads me to believe that there's not a real strong relationship between the two of you in the first place. And it's probably because you're an asshole, which you've shown the whole world by saying
it. Not only that, so Michael Sam's dad said that he's not comfortable raising his grandkids in that environment. Of all of Michael Dad's kids, I think Michael Sam's senior's kids, Michael Sam's junior's brothers and sisters, two of them are dead. One or two of them, I think, are in jail.
One of them died. Two of them are in jail.
Two of them,
and he had a sister he didn't even know about until he found out she was dead.
Yeah.
So really, Michael Sam is the only
he's got one son who's about to become a multimillionaire,
and he's pulling this like, I don't think I'm comfortable. It's like, well, you can be comfortable living in the fucking poorhouse.
This is why. It's people like to say a lot of the time, well, I'm not prejudiced, I'm just expressing, you know, my religious belief. No. What JC just said is why it's prejudice, because prejudice involves no matter how well you do, because of what you are and who you love, you're still less than what I think than what other people are.
Yeah.
You will never be as equal, and I don't care what you do, I don't care how great you are.
I mean, like, how wretched a human being do you have to be to have basically one child left on the whole planet? And because of like one choice that, you know, arguably isn't even a fucking choice.
Yeah. And
You're gonna disown the one child you have left. And as JC said, I mean, think about it even, like, think about it in the most selfish terms possible. The one kid you have left who's about to be a millionaire, and you're going to shun this person. Like, I feel like Morgan Freeman, like, and your plan is to shun this person? Yeah.
Like, well, it's like, I had a very close friend recently come out, and my thing was, if anything, I was proud of him, because I'm like, look, he chose to live his life on his terms.
Yeah. Stop, like, hiding.
That's,
you know,
the biggest, that's one of the hardest things to do in life, no matter what you are.
I think it's a really weird thing also to hear parents talk badly about their kids who come out to be homosexual, because if you don't, obviously you don't believe that it's a you believe that it's a choice. You choose to be attracted to whoever it is you want to be attracted to.
Right.
But if that's the case, if you you're choosing it, or if you feel like it's not, like, born into you, it's not genetic, then the only other thing that it can be is environmental. So
which is like, you start looking around.
Exactly. It's like, well, so if they're choosing it, what exactly did you do as a parent?
Exactly.
To put them in a situation where they are now. Well,
that's the hole in his dad's argument. Is like, okay, you're saying that the way you're treating this is that your son made this choice and you're not comfortable with your grandkids. Which, first of all, the way you're parenting, you're not going to have any fucking grandkids. But, like, your argument is that you're not comfortable with your grandkids growing up in, quote-unquote, that environment. Well, if you believe it's a choice, he grew up with you, and he's gay. So I'm not sure it really has to do with, you know, who you grow up with.
But here's the thing. That actually tracks, though, because a big thing about racism, a big thing of homophobia, is it's transference and it's denial.
Yeah.
Like, they, I mean, there have been studies done that show that the most homophobic people have homosexual desires tendencies that they can't deal with.
Yeah.
And so the way some of them deal with it is say, well, they're a natural, so therefore they're acknowledging
it's cognitive
they're
dissonance.
Bad.
It's cognitive dissonance. Yeah. It makes more sense to me that they are bad than, you know,
than I have a thing I need to deal with.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, like, this is me rejecting this sin.
What I love about the Michael Sam situation is he is the SEC Defensive Player of the Year.
Not an easy thing to get.
How is that for defiance of a preconceived notion? He's gay, and he is probably, like, the epitome of masculinity. Yeah. Like, and it's just like, it's making me laugh so hard to watch all these guys who have this completely preconceived notion of what it means to be gay, and it's like, well, he'd be effeminate, and then they, like, see him and go, but how good is he? Is he really good at football? Well, I guess that's fine.
It's also kind of funny. I mean, the rugby is not a big sport here in the United States, so we don't talk about it a lot.
Right.
But there was an article written about the best, I think he's actually considered the best player currently playing in rugby, but this was about 3 years ago. He's gay. He's openly gay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're talking about probably the roughest sport you can think of on the planet, and the best player at it, arguably the most dominant player at it, is homosexual.
Yeah.
And he's so dominant at it that he can just say, I don't give a shit. I mean, I'm the best player at my game, and I am what I am.
And that's the thing.
What are you going to do about it?
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. But also, like, the bullshit that's coming from these people's mouths, including Michael Sam's own father, it's baffling to me because they're just variations on the arguments several decades ago against African Americans playing pro sports. And you think about the movie 42, let's say you're a coach or an owner of an NFL team. Do you really want to be the new Alan Tudyk? Do you want to be the guy standing on the sidelines like some hit character going, hey, homo, 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 blah, 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 why don't you go watch ice skating, blah, 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 blah. It's like, seriously, like, that's what, you'd rather be that. You would rather be the guy that is standing in the way of something that is clearly part of society now. You want to be Alan Tudyk in 42. That's what you have resigned yourself to be.
Well, and they don't view it as that way. And I see your argument, but the worst thing that can happen for these people is that the preconception of what it means to be gay becomes just, oh, you like to be with dudes.
Yeah.
It's not, oh, you're like, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but you're not prancing around, you don't have flowers everywhere. They want that to stay as the preconception because then it becomes something other.
Right.
But the minute it becomes, oh, he just likes, he has a husband.
I will say.
It's not a thing.
Yeah.
It's weird, like the overall response, I'm not saying I agree with the response, but it's not 100% that surprising because there are some parts of the country still have issues with a black quarterback.
Yeah.
I know even decades ago, people didn't think that black people could play quarterbacks. 1988
mm-hmm. was the first time we had a black quarterback in the Super Bowl.
It was funny. Martin from Highly Suspect Reviews and obviously Spill and everything. We were talking about that because we were waiting for about last night to start because we went to the screen together. And I was just talking about how, you know, people say that civil rights was so long ago, but my dad was born in 52.
Yeah.
He was 12 when the civil rights laws were passed. And you think back that this is like within people's lifetime. How do you watch that happen?
Yeah.
And then watch this start happening and right. not just, even if you don't believe it, just get on the right side of history.
Yeah.
Just be like, okay, well that's this the thing. Is what's
it's,
happening.
It's like you can't mandate people's beliefs and their prejudices.
Yeah.
Like that, I mean, that's the thing with like, yeah, we had the civil rights laws, but that didn't eliminate, it wasn't the cure for racism.
No.
But what it prevented was institutionalized prejudice, yeah. which is unfortunately what's going to happen here. And the NFL teams that pass on him because he's gay are going to get away with it because they can come up with 100 bullshit excuses. And frankly, I'm going to, like, I think this is a great opportunity for a team with a coach and an owner that doesn't have their head up their ass to steal a great player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, Michael Sam is going to be a fucking beast in the NFL.
What if the Seattle Seahawks get him because he just sinks to the bottom?
Oh, my
God. Pete Carroll can give a shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pete Carroll doesn't care who you are off the field. He doesn't give a shit. He doesn't even control his players like, on the field.
Even, I mean, the city of Philadelphia is not exactly the most progressive, but Chip Kelly, I guarantee you, is somebody who would probably draft him.
Yeah. I'm gonna you know, this is, maybe I'm being a little bit of a homer, but Chuck Pagano doesn't strike me as the kind of person that's going to give a shit about this.
Yeah.
I mean,
Colts defense. Yeah. Is so bad it's like gay, straight, bisexual. What are you? You have the fork coming out of here? We don't care. Just join our team, please.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's basically what you need is somebody like a Branch Rickey. You basically need a Branch Rickey.
You
need a Branch Rickey. You need somebody who's going to say, you know what? I drafted this player because he's the best person available. He's going to be on our team. If you don't like it, you're fucking fired.
Yeah,
you
exactly. Know? And unfortunately, Roger Goodell came out in a statement that I think he's trying to be. He's trying to kind of fill that role, but the problem with Roger Goodell is like he doesn't have any conception of what's actually happening in his own fucking league. But here's a statement. He said, we have a policy prohibiting discrimination based on sexual orientation. We will have further training and make sure that everyone understands our commitment. We truly believe in diversity, and this is an opportunity to demonstrate
further it. Further training? What do you train?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, train people not to gay bash, I guess.
No, it's like corporate. Like, I had a diversity training a few years ago.
Hey, you know where you should start? The fucking Minnesota Vikings. Because this whole bullshit about we believe in diversity, tell that to Chris Cluey. The Vikings fired him for speaking out in favor of gay rights. He's not even gay.
Yeah.
This is bullshit telling me that, oh, we're diverse. Fuck you, Roger Goodell. Take your head out of your ass. Investigate the Minnesota Vikings. Clear that shit up before you talk to me about how I'm supposed to feel better that the NFL has this policy.
Yeah, one of my favorite points of contention about this is people are like, well, what about the showers? They're going to shower together. And to that, I have to say, I played high school football, almost played college. I played junior high football. I've seen way more dicks than I will ever see vaginas. And if you've played high school football, you've probably seen way more dicks than you'll ever see vaginas.
Yeah, and John Stewart mentioned this as well, which is like this like veiled narcissism of like, well, I'm in the shower, my dick's out, I'm irresistible. Clearly, he's going to come on to me. It's like, get the fuck over yourself.
But even then, it's like, okay, say he comes up with...
Well, it's you know, it's one of those things like, well, he's gay, so he likes any and all men. It's like, really? Do you like any and all women?
Yeah.
Anything with a vagina, you just go after.
Yeah. Well, they are NFL players. I'm just saying.
If he does get drafted to the 49ers, there's going to be a Colin Kaepernick issue going on.
And then JC be like, not my man.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's going to be a slap fight, you know, and because JC gets into a lot of slap fights.
What can he be offended about? That somebody's walking around the shit. What's the worst going to happen? He's going to walk around with a hard-on?
I don't know. Like, I really don't understand. Like, none of these arguments, all of these arguments are just, I'm a bigot. Yeah.
Well, it's like, I went to this 80s night one night at a dance club downtown, and I didn't know it was like all orientations night, and some dude came on me. I took it as a compliment. I was like,
fuck yeah, you take that shit as a compliment.
I take this as a compliment, but I am just not interested, but I wish you well.
I'm an extremely cuddly person, and I fucking take that shit as a compliment.
It's like, oh, somebody finds me attractive. How horrible.
Yeah, fuck you. Get over yourself. And again, it's just like all those people that, you know, if you have an actual problem with Obama's policies, that's great. Like, that's your right as an American to disagree. But all those people who are like, I don't like Obama. Why? Because it's like, you won't say it. You're too much of a fucking coward to come out and say, because I'm a racist.
Can I say the N-bomb here?
Yeah, it's like, you're too much of a coward to come out and say the reason I'm not comfortable with this is because I'm a fucking racist.
Can I call him a thug?
And that's exactly what these NFL owners and players are like, oh, the NFL's not ready. It's like, motherfucker, you're not ready.
I'm most
ashamed. Just come out and say it.
I'm most ashamed of Herm Edwards as a black coach. You should just know better than to say some shit like that. It's like, well, that's my big problem with the black community and homosexuals.
What did Herm Edwards say? I missed this.
He had like a very mealy mouth response from what I read. It was like sort of like walking a line of I'm not sure they're ready. JC can check real quick.
That's horseshit. Yeah, and you're right. As a black coach, it's like, do you not realize how few opportunities there are for you that you're going to, like, come on, man.
Well, it's like my best friend is white and he lives in Dallas, and we were talking about something like this a year ago. And we sort of agreed that the thing about equality is equality for any group is good for every group.
Right.
Because the minute you start letting one group being discriminated against, you give license for people to start discriminating against any other group.
Well, it's like we talked about before, too, is the NFL is a corporation.
Yeah.
They are a business. They are not allowed to do this shit. They're not allowed, you know, as Roger Goodell, like, mouth farted, they are not allowed to discriminate based on sexual orientation. Unfortunately, they can make up any bullshit reason they want to fire somebody or to not hire somebody.
So Herman Edwards' quote is, it's kind of the same thing that some people who don't want to outright say that they're not comfortable with a gay player are kind of skirting the issue by saying he's bringing baggage into the locker room that GMs and owners don't want the distraction, which I get on a certain level. But the thing about these news stories, just like the Richie Incognito thing, just like any big news stories, after a week, it's gone.
Well, and that's what kills me. It's like this whole, like, well, we don't want the distraction. You're creating the fucking distraction. Yeah. That's such a straw man argument. Oh, we don't want this player because we don't want the distraction it would bring. I'm sorry, the distraction of being an NFL team that shows it's progressive and actually doesn't care about things like that. That's a distraction.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, when you open your arms and when welcome somebody and just let what they do on the field dictate the character that they have and how you judge them, that's a distraction?
It's like,
that says a lot more about the NFL than I think they meant to.
And I don't get it. How difficult can it be just to say, I don't give a shit?
Exactly.
I don't care.
Yeah, the distraction is completely fabricated by the people who claim that that's the reason they don't want to take him. And it's like, you are creating the distraction by having a problem with it at all.
If it becomes a reporter thing, just as the coach, just say, why do you give a shit?
That's the thing that nobody's mentioning. He came out to his teammates months ago at the start of the season,
and no one
fucking gave a shit.
Yeah, they were Missouri was a team that went 12-5.
They went to the SEC championship.
Yeah. They went 7-5, and this year he came out to them in a team building ceremony thing, and it like bonded them. And they were a stone's throw away from the national championship.
Yeah, so distraction. Get to your conference championship, get this close to a national title. That's the kind of distraction you might get taking on a gay player. Fuck you.
But in the SEC, nonetheless. Yeah. We're talking about Missouri.
Yes.
Like, this is Missouri. It was bottom of the barrel Big 12.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden goes into the SEC.
Not to mention not the state known for being the most progressive.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's like, all of a sudden, it's like, Missouri looks awesome. Like, I don't understand this bullshit. Like, oh, it's going to cause a distraction. It's like, just say you're a bigot. Just come out and say it. Because you can dance around it all you want. You can make up all the bullshit reasons. You're a bigot. That's all it is.
Yeah. And Missouri now is the only school that can say, a lot of schools preach about family and how close the teams are. Like, they obviously must be.
Yeah.
And the thing is, some people are trying to get ahead of it. Like, Les Miles came out and said, yeah, we would, although I didn't like the word he used, but Les Miles in words is sort of weird.
It's just because Les Miles, it always sounds like he's had a head injury recently.
He said, we would accommodate a gay player. So I don't like that word.
What does that mean?
But again, Les Miles in words.
Yeah.
The word is stuff sort of confuses him.
Yeah.
I wonder if he means to accommodate him the way they accommodate high school kids coming in for visits with, like, strippers. And
yeah, I was like, maybe that's just change the gender of the stripper that you...
You know what? I will give you this. It is a little weird how LSU hasn't won a championship in, what, 5 years, 6 years? But they still had the number two recruiting class.
Yeah. Anywho, the other big story we need to talk about is that Derek Jeter is retiring at the end of 2014. Oh, yeah, no, Jeets!
Yeah, Jeets!
What are we going to do without you and your various sexual conquest stories?
Jessica Alba.
Oh, man.
Mila Kunis.
In response to this, by the way, Alex Rodriguez has decided to sue Jeter for making A-Rod look bad by being a damn likable guy. I don't know. He's not really suing him. That's a joke. By the way, side note, A-Rod amazingly decided to drop his case against Major League Baseball.
What?
When he found out that it was the dumbest fucking lawsuit, in the history of law. So congratulations, you jackass. But you know what? Jeter, here's something to know about Jeter. Jeter was taken sixth in the 1992 draft. He has been in the league for over 20 years. See if you can recognize the name of the five guys who went before him. The five teams that passed on Derek Jeter got players like Phil Nevin.
Oh, him.
Paul Shuey, B.J. Wallace, Jeffrey Hammonds, and Chad Motola. Yep, there you go.
Okay.
These are all guys who had long careers, but, they had long careers bouncing around from franchise to franchise like Shaq with frequent flyer miles to spend. So it's amazing to me that you had all these teams that just didn't see the potential there. And you know what? I'm gonna say this. You have to respect a guy who calls it quits. I mean, if you guys haven't read his letter to the fans on Facebook, it's a very heartfelt note where he basically says, You know, this city has challenged me. It's lifted me up, and it's done all these things at the same time. But a lot of the things that were coming natural to me are feeling more like a job now. And I always told myself that if baseball started feeling like a job, it was time to move on. And I got to commend him. A guy that calls it quits when things aren't fun anymore. It's sure more than we can say about the writers on Family Guy. I mean, they're just going to keep doing that until. Well, Judgment Day.
There's always the 80s to reference.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, they'll always have work. Yeah.
I mean, it's very much also like the Barry Sanders situation, too. I mean, well, maybe a little bit different. Barry Sanders is also in the unenviable position of playing for Detroit.
Right.
Who never won and didn't, I don't know, they had like consecutive losing seasons after he left. So,
yeah.
Jeter got the opportunity to play for five championship teams. So, but Barry Sanders' argument was the same thing. Like, you know what? It's starting to feel tedious now. Yeah. And he left at the top of his game. He could have had the record. He could have had many, many more records, unbreakable records if he wanted. But he's like, you know what? I'm done. Like,
but now his brain functions.
I've got the most out of it that I can probably get out of it. And it's got the most out of me that it can get. Yeah. So.
Well, it's interesting to note that Jeter came into the league in 1992, which is the same year that A League of Their Own was released. And he is a guy who, for all the bile I spit toward the team for which he played, he is in a league of his own. He's a true rarity. He is a native Yankee. He played for that one team his entire career. A native Yankee is about as rare as someone who's been reading the Dazzlers since the 1970s. It's just something you don't actually fucking see. And, you know, I have all the respect in the world for him. I'm going to come out and say it. As much as I hate the Yankees, and if he's ever playing the Red Sox, I will never say it to his face. But all the respect in the world.
With him leaving, it's a lot easier to hate the Yankees, though, now.
Yes.
Yes.
Because, yeah. I mean, you know, as Rivera left, and, I mean, they're losing their class act players.
Yeah. Like, and he, well, and they
well, still, wasn't Rivera a firecracker?
really? Come on. it's actually going to be kind of harder for me to hate the Yankees now, I think, because you have all these guys that
now you can disrespect them and
yeah and there's nobody who I'm actually okay,
it's like, oh, with exception of these three guys,
yeah it's like if A-Rod was still there, it'd be a different matter, but they're shipping him off God knows where, Saigon maybe. I don't know. I have very mixed feelings about this. I have all the respect in the world for Jeter. I think it's incredible that he stayed with the Yankees his entire career, which is usually a place that you are brought into. It's not a place you start and finish your career.
Right.
It's a place that either you are brought into as a patch, and if it works, great, and if not, they ship you off somewhere else, or it's a place where you're brought in with a lot of promise, and if they don't get what they want from you immediately, they ship you off somewhere else. So it's really impressive, that alone. And then, you know, he's a shortstop, which is a very difficult position. He's a shortstop who can hit, which was something that was unheard of before Cal Ripken. You know, there's a lot of things that really impressed me about Jeter. And he's not a guy that was surrounded by controversy his whole career. I mean, we make fun of the fact that, you know, he says his own name during blowjobs. But when you really think about it, like, that's the worst we can come up with. That is the worst criticism of Derek Jeter that we can come up with.
And the thing is, if you look at his history, I'd be saying my name too, because I'd be fucking impressed.
These are some of the women he's dated: Mariah Carey, Jessica Alba, Jessica Biel, Vanessa Manillo, Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and he's kept almost all of those quiet, which is a weird thing. Like, it hasn't been tabloid news.
Oh, there's more. Adriana Lima, who's a Victoria's Secret model, Jordana Brewster, Hannah Davis, also a Victoria's Secret model, Minka Kelly, and Tyra Banks.
He dated Tyra Banks?
Yeah.
Fuck that guy.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, Jeets. Get it, Jeets. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to toast to
the pussy hound.
To the ultimate pussy hound, to Jeets. Hopefully there will still be stories coming out about
as
your love life.
What I just said was
to keep providing this show with lots of quotes.
I like how we're saying that like it's going to end.
He's going to stop sleeping with women.
He's still going to be Derek Jeter.
That's true. Well, the next story we need to talk about, Oklahoma State basketball player Marcus Smart kind of proves dubious
his
last name.
Has to change his last name.
Yeah. So during a game against Texas Tech, he was going after a loose ball. He ends up in the stands, and a Texas Tech fan said something that led to an altercation, and Smart shoved the guy and got suspended for 3 games. Now, the allegation from Smart was that the fan used a racial slur, namely the N-word. But the fan asserts that he called Smart, and forgive me for laughing at this obvious ass-covering lie, no, I called him a piece of crap. Okay. Now, obviously, we weren't on the court. We don't know for certain what was said, but I can tell you that Smart's reaction and the instant whipping of his head upon hearing the insult does not gel with a taunt that sounds like it came from a kindergarten playground.
I only see that kind of reaction when a black guy hears one word.
Yeah, and not only that, but if you slow down the tape, as Marcus, as Smart is being pulled away, if you watch his lips, he says, he called me a... You can see him mouth it. He's pointing at this fucking Texas Tech fan, which, I'm sorry, in Lubbock, Texas, of course I believe someone dropped the N-bomb. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, and then all the people around him, back to story.
Yeah, yeah, by the way, take into account that this guy is apparently a super fan. You know what that means? He's given a fuck ton of money to the school. Yeah. Of course everybody's backing his story. This is bullshit. And Marcus Smart, I will say, you know, he didn't react the way you should. However, I refuse to believe that Smart would let things come to blows over anything less than vile racist rhetoric. And if this Tech fan did use the N-word, he is just as culpable and got exactly... No, he got less than he fucking deserved. Let's be real. He got a shove. He should have got his lights knocked out.
Was there any punishment on him at all? I guess there could have
been. There was no punishment. He voluntarily agreed to not go to any more Texas Tech games this year. But He'll be back next year. Let me
just pose it to you this way. You are from Lubbock, Texas. And a player on an opposing team to your favorite team in the whole world comes into the stands and shoves you... And you did nothing but say, you're a piece of crap. There's a word I'm thinking would enter into the equation. Elliot, you want to help me out with this?
Bullshit and bigot?
No. As a lawyer, what word do you think would come into this? If this were really true. If this were the case...
I'm not sure I'm following. I'm sorry.
He would file a lawsuit. Well, that's my point.
I thought you were talking about the doctrine, because like, I'm thinking, I haven't studied this type of law in a while, but there's a thing called fighting words. Where it's a,
right.
It's, if you say a certain thing.
I heard about those in Westerns. That's fighting words.
No, but it's been a while since I looked at it, so I'm not sure this is accurate, but there used to be a doctrine called fighting words. If you say a certain thing, it's so harmful that if somebody hits you, they can argue that, yeah, I was right to do so.
Yeah, I mean, basically what I'm saying is, if it had been a situation where Marcus Smart comes into the stands and shoves the guy just for saying, you piece of crap, that guy would file a lawsuit so fucking fast. And the fact that he hasn't is just further evidence to me that he absolutely said the fucking N-word.
Yeah, because the other interesting thing about that video that was released is Texas Tech has a partnership with GoPro. There's a guy that sits in that spot with a GoPro camera. Texas Tech has the right to do whatever they want with that video, and so... I don't know if the guy ended up saying the N-word. One thing that seems to be true is that at the very least, he said, go back to Africa.
And then, that's just
bad. On the tape, you can hear someone say, go back to, and then the audio cuts out.
Oh, that's really fucking
This is my
convenient.
Favorite reply to that. Y'all motherfuckers brought me here.
Yeah.
I was chilling.
Apparently, the person in charge of Texas Tech's GoPro is George Orwell, and they're just fucking rewriting history, so that's really convenient.
Well, look, it's easy to say that, and I'm not saying y'all aren't saying this, but it's easy to say that a 19-year-old should handle himself better. But I'm saying people say that.
People will say that.
But, you know, and people say there's never a reason to hit a fan, but. You know
there's
what?
Fucking reasons to
there
hit
are
fans.
Times
I'm sorry.
Where you have to enforce a fucking line.
Yeah. Yeah.
I am not a damn monkey. I'm not here for your. I'm not just going around this. This is not a circus. Yeah. I deserve at least a little bit of respect. Yeah. You can call me a piece of crap, but there's a point where you don't get to call me that. You didn't pay me for that privilege. I don't make any money here.
Yeah.
Like I'm here. Yeah.
Which is a whole other argument. Yeah.
And it's a different situation than Ron Artest going into the stands because he, you know, he's an adult professional, went after people who are more or less his age. Marcus Smart is a 19-year-old kid who heard this thing said by a 50-year-old man. It's like, how mature is the 50-year-old man?
Yeah,
and how do you expect a 19-year-old kid to keep his cool in that scenario?
And it's definitely unreasonable to ask for any 19-year-old to actually act like that. But for a 19-year-old star athlete, you should be trained on how to not act like that.
And I agree, but here's the thing. Yeah, okay. He only said that because he thought he could get away with it. Yeah. Whatever he said, because I can guarantee you, if Marcus Smart was walking out of the arena and nobody was around him and he said that to him, he wouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
Because he'd be like, that man would have punched me out. I can't take him.
Yeah, it brings up the issue, like especially in college, like donors can donate as much money as they want. It doesn't give you the right to say anything you want, to say something that you would never say to a person outside of the arena.
It just plays on the theme we were talking about before with Michael Sam, is that bigots are cowards. They're the biggest cowards. Yeah. Like, people who are that prejudiced and have that narrow mind and say things like that are also cowards, and they will only say that when like you said, when they're surrounded by other people who will back them up no matter what bullshit they pull.
The thing I do want to say, though, real quick, this is just the lawyer in me. We don't, and Brian says already, we don't know for sure what happened, but it looks like something happened.
But
we don't know
fucking
for sure
what happened. I don't know for certain. I can't say without a shadow of a doubt, but I'm pretty fucking sure right now.
I mean, the only thing that you can really pass judgment on is what you can actually see. Mm-hmm. All you can see is Marcus Smart shoving a guy in the
And
stands.
Then, but you can, like I said, you can also clearly see him mouth the words, he called me a,
But what we can say for sure is it was a 56-year-old man going after a 19-year-old kid that 56-year-old man should fucking know better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, your brain isn't even fully formed until you're 21 or 25 as a man. Mm-hmm. Like, your frontal lobe that controls your decision-making skills isn't even formed.
Yeah. And if he had said that, if that was the insult, your frontal lobe's not formed, people would have been like, what the fuck?
He'd have been like, oh, I learned about that in class this week.
Thanks, you know, man.
And this is probably the argument for players not being able to come out directly after high school to enter into the NBA.
Yeah, that is the argument.
I mean, it's like, you know what? They haven't fully grown up yet. I mean, yeah, they're at their you can argue that they're at their physical peak enough that they can perform in the NBA and they can compete just fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's being able to actually keep your composure in situations like that. Because the difference between going from college to the NBA, I imagine that the fanaticism between the two is going to get very, very extreme.
Yeah.
If you can't handle that in the college atmosphere, it's going to be difficult to do the same in the NBA.
Yeah, and this is going to make his transition to the NBA a lot more difficult because now people know that he obviously has buttons.
Right.
I'm going to go ahead and say this. I think it's okay for that to be a button
That's one of my buttons.
Like, go ahead and leave that button right where it is. That's fine.
Like, it's been a long time since I've been in
the very least,
they
know how sensitive the button is. Yeah. That's what I mean.
And speaking of everyone's favorite straight from high school basketball player, LeBron James said something again. In all fairness, LeBron James hit this incredible game-winning three-point shot over the Warriors last night. Fine, great. So LeBron James says, this is the thing he said, that he said that if the NBA had a Mount Rushmore, he would definitely be on it. Okay. Monumental ego aside, literally monumental, I'm more troubled by the possibility that James doesn't know that they let more than four players into the Hall of Fame. Like, does he really not know this? I don't understand. No one bothered to point out to him that that's not a thing that exists.
Yeah, because it's entirely too exclusionary.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, those spots are spoken for.
Yeah.
Like, Wilt Chamberlain, Michael Jordan, Larry Bird.
Maybe. I don't understand the concept of, like, it's like the ultimate vanity. It's like, not only do I want to be acknowledged among the best players, I want my face 40 feet high on a fucking national monument. Like,
you can't really make that comparative ratio between the two. I mean, there have only been, what, 50, less than 50 presidents now?
Yeah.
44.
So one out of every 11 presidents gets their face on Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, and you have to, like, either keep the country together through the Civil War, start the country, be a beloved early 20th century president, or who's the other? Is this Washington, Roosevelt, Lincoln, and this
Jefferson.
Jefferson. Or be, like, one of the founders of the fucking country.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, like, one out of every 11. That's pretty – I mean, yes, it's elite, but it's not that elite.
Yeah.
I mean, there have only been 44 presidents.
Yeah.
So that's, like, one out of every offensive player on the NFL team can have their face on Mount Rushmore or something.
I just want to create a Twitter account called Shit LeBron Says, and I want to hashtag this one Mount Shushmore.
Well, you wouldn't have to because ESPN would talk about it ad nauseum. But so, since he is my favorite player, in his defense,
okay. I knew you were going to swoop in.
This is a question he was asked. It's not like he walked into a room and said, hey, I have a statement to make. He answered a question.
So the question was...
Who do you see on the NBA's Mount Rushmore?
And the first thing out of his mouth is me?
No, first thing out of his mouth was Bird, or MJ, Bird, Magic, and he thought really long and hard before he said Oscar Robertson. Now, okay. Oscar Robertson is the only guy who's ever averaged a triple-double in the NBA, and for a while, when LeBron was a rookie, I thought LeBron was going to be the next guy to do it, but that's probably not going to happen because it's really hard. But, I mean, you know, in LeBron's defense, he's probably got 10 more years to play. When all is said and done, I think he's going to end up on the top four players of all time because look at him one by one. MJ is the greatest of all time, no doubt. Compare him to LeBron. LeBron's a better shooter, three-point shooter,
Three-point shooter. Don't say better
LeBron's
shooter.
A better rebounder and a better passer.
What's his agility?
Because Jordan didn't like to pass. Like, if Jordan wanted to pass, he would have been a passer.
How many experience points does he have? What's his agility score? That's what... Like, I'm sorry. Like, we can break this down into all these different categories, but the fact is that there are... If you really want to go back and choose four players out of the history of the NBA that belong on a mountain...
That's not a bad four.
I think LeBron... The problem is that LeBron is talking about his legacy before this shit is over. And that's really troubling to me, where he's like, I am going to be considered one of the greatest of all time. It's like, dude, you don't fucking know what's going to happen. Like, you could blow out your knee Greg Oden style, and that's it. Honestly, and you would be the guy that won... Yeah, you won two championships. But how many people in the NFL have won two championships and done it really well and played the game tremendously well, who we don't even fucking talk about anymore? Like, honestly, I just think it's way too soon.
If that happened to him, honestly, yeah. I think you'd make the case that he may have had one of the best 10-year runs out of any other player.
And that's great, but I feel like... What's going to get in LeBron's way is this whole, like, Johnny Manziel shit.
The hubris is already there.
It's something I think he feels like he has to do because he's the first great player in the NBA of the Twitter era. He's the only one. He's chasing Jordan's ghost for no reason. People are always going to say, Jordan's got more rings than you, Kobe's got more rings than you, and he's going to end up being a better player than Kobe. Maybe not Jordan, but he's the only player, and we saw a little bit this year with Peyton. Peyton chasing Joe Montana's ghost all of a sudden.
Yeah.
That's kind of what LeBron's going through. Now, Peyton's not going to say that he's the greatest of all time.
Yeah, that's the difference, though. Like,
it's something I think LeBron needs to push himself.
You can't say that he's chasing the ghost for no reason when this is not the first time he's said or done shit
but
like
this. I think what JC's trying... I think he's
not chasing a ghost so much as like he's being pushed in a race that he didn't ask to be put into.
Exactly. That's what I was going
to
say.
People are constantly coming up to LeBron and say, hey, what do you think about this compared to MJ? And he's... He never came out and said, when he came out of high school, he said he wanted to be more like Magic.
Yeah.
And he wanted to get AIDS.
People don't want him to get AIDS.
I just thought maybe he wanted to get AIDS.
Yeah. People are the one who keep bringing up MJ to him. Nobody ever brings up Magic, the player he wants to emulate. And compared to Magic, he's a better shooter than Magic. He's not a better passer, but yeah.
I think the healthiest thing for LeBron just mentally would be just to forget that and just be LeBron.
See, that's my whole point. I'm like, just play, man. But it all goes back to that fucking decision. That nobody forced him to do an hour-long special where he decided where he was going to go next. Nobody forced him to do that. That is like the Faustian moment for LeBron James to me, where, you know, everything that I liked about it's like he was selling his soul. It's like, I will do whatever it takes to win a championship.
Well, yeah. He raised $2 million for the Boys and Girls Club.
That's great, and that's awesome. But, like, again, nobody fucking asked you to have an hour-long special like it's decision day for high school. Like, it's just, it blows my mind, the ego of this guy.
But to be fair, you know, and I'm not just trying to be contrary, believe me, even though sometimes it seems that way, and I know, people make mistakes, and, you know, he's allowed to make mistakes, and the decision, he's admitted that was a mistake. He should have handled that differently. And ESPN also was sort of pushing him into that,
no,
too.
No. ESPN is also at fault. I will not argue that at all. My whole thing is that this is coming from a very sad place because I liked LeBron a lot and I have watched what I have perceived as the complete and utter loss of his humility, and it has made him a player that I don't even like. I should be able to love watching LeBron James play because he's a great fucking basketball player and he's spectacular to watch, but I can't. I can't enjoy it anymore because I have watched – I just feel like I've watched – his, like, everything that was likable about him when he was playing in Cleveland slip away since he went to Miami. So this is not coming from a place of hatred.
No, I don't think it is. This is coming
from a place of despair.
No, but
I see it more as him embracing his confidence. I think when he came into the league under so much pressure, it was a lot of things to build up to. Now that he has a couple of championships under his belt, I see it as him coming into his confidence more rather than his hubris.
Well, I think what JC what JC said earlier really rings true. He is the first real superstar of the Twitter era. If we had to hear what Jordan thought on his run and what Magic thought and what Bird thought and what Will Chamberlain thought on their run, we probably would have a much different feeling of them, because I know for a fact that players hated Jordan that played against him because he was just cocky as all hell. Yeah. He got the calls, but we didn't hear about that 99 out because media was different. And Nike had to make some fucking money, so they were like, look, you can give us good press.
Yeah. LeBron lives shot by shot. If he'd have missed that shot last night, all you'd be talking about all day is how he doesn't come through in the clutch. If he'd have missed that shot last night.
No, I think he does come through in the clutch unless
ESPN definitely
defense is involved.
I know, ESPN, that's all they would have been talking about all day is how ESPN can't come through in the clutch.
Here's the other thing about this that really troubles me is the timing of this statement, this interview, whoever you want to put the blame on. Can Kevin Durant not have the spotlight for 5 fucking seconds? Well, as well as he played this, like, I'm sorry, LeBron, whatever. Kevin Durant is the MVP this year. Like, there is no question about that. And it's like, anytime the attention in the NBA is on anybody other than LeBron James, we have to find a way to funnel it back.
But I feel like Kevin Durant for me is more analogous in just his personality to David Robinson. He's just a guy who goes, and I like David Robinson. He's one of my favorite players, but he just goes out, does his job, goes home.
Yeah.
He's not a guy who's trying to, like, take all the attention. He just wants to be the best he can. And when you're like that, when you're like David Robinson, you're like Tim Duncan, you'll win championships, but you're not going to get the attention.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is.
And I predict if Durant gets one or two championships under his belt, he's going to become a little bit more like LeBron.
Yeah. But ESPN will never give him that same coverage. That is the issue.
I don't know. If he wins 2 championships, I think they do. Because that's the position is LeBron gets all the attention now because he's LeBron. I mean, he'll get it. He probably would get it regardless. But the fact that he has 2 championships, you can't take your eyes off of now because he's the reigning champion. He's a reigning 2-time champion.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to be consistently in one the MVP talks, and he's always going to be the lead of every conversation, no matter how good somebody else is playing, as long as he has the most recent ring. So,
yeah.
And the thing is, to be fair to him, he may have gone to Miami thinking he's going to get easy championships, but he has really carried that team. Because Dwayne Wade's knees have been nothing, and Chris Bosh has been nothing. So, I mean, if you want to look at – and Ray Allen, he's good, but he's not what he used to be. So it's really just LeBron James and friends right now.
I would watch that.
And, I mean, and you could, you know, you could also make the argument that LeBron is – he probably is the most valuable – he is actually the most valuable player in the league. Because if you extract him from any team that he's on, it's no longer really a good team. Look at Cleveland now. Look at Cleveland since he's left.
Which leads us in...
Later. Yeah, oh. Don't step on my shit, Elliot.
Sorry. We were talking about buttons.
Well, I've got the show notes. Don't segue into shit. Well,
here's the thing. We talk about buttons. This is the only time that I have... And I haven't known JC as long as I would like to know him. This is the only time I've seen JC get slightly annoyed.
I'm not that annoyed.
No. JC and I have very different views on LeBron James. And in fact, the weird thing is, and this is what I keep harping on, is that they started in the same place. Like, this is one of those weird, like, villain origin stories. JC and I started in the exact same place, and there was a clear turning point where I went one way and he went a different way, and it's all centered around how we feel about LeBron James. So I guess I have lived long enough to see myself be the LeBron hater. I don't know. I also want to say that my personal Mount Rushmore would have Snake Plissken, Rick from Casablanca, Jason Voorhees, and Darth Vader. Why? Because those guys have already secured their legacies.
I was like, as another NBA players?
That's another thing I like about LeBron is those 4 that he named probably would have been my 4. Because I never got to see Oscar Robertson play. I've seen highlights of him. I've read his stats. Like, that is the one dude.
It's insane to imagine somebody actually averaging a triple-double over an entire season. Like,
yeah.
How the fuck is that even possible?
Well, I mean, I'm not trying to steer the conversation that way, but the shit that Kevin Durant's been doing this year, I'm still like, I don't know how one human being does that. So I mean,
to be so involved in your team and like in your team, I mean, you basically have the ball in your hands at every single moment, and every single moment you have the ball in your hands, somebody is scoring something.
It's true.
If it's not you, you're passing it to the guy who's scoring something.
Yeah. In the end, this whole conversation is moot. Because whichever 4 NBA players you might assign a Mount Rushmore, as soon as the Roland Emmerich movie starts up, that Mount Rushmore's getting blown all the shit. So it really doesn't matter which athletes you put up
there. So what was your Rushmore? What was the criteria?
I don't know, my favorite movie characters. Like,
okay.
Like, honestly, the characters that have meant the most to me, like, cinematically, like, the characters that in some form or fashion have kind of shaped the way I look at movies in general. And it's those 4 guys.
Hmm.
So there you have it. You can argue with me. Maybe we'll.
No, not argue with that.
I'm saying people out there. Maybe I screwed up by not putting Pistol Pete Maravich on my greatest movie characters of all time. I don't know. Michael Jordan could actually work for both. If you're really a huge fan of Space Jam, that's the great part of it.
Well, they did a creepy thing today where somebody modded NBA 2K14 to where the characters look like Space Jam characters.
Nice.
And it's really cool, but it's really creepy.
I love it. I'm gonna check it out. All right, so we're going to go ahead, and before we talk about anything else, I think it's time that we wrap up the ITL fantasy football competition that, you know, I know the Super Bowl has been over for a couple weeks, and it's now almost March, but we're finally going to decide the winner of our fantasy. We have the four conference champions, because each of us had to take a league, because, I mean, I don't mean to brag, but there was that much interest in the league. We had to actually split it up in four. I was really happy about that. So we have a winner from each conference, and this trivia challenge is how we're going to decide the winner. We asked all of our champions the same 30 questions, and some of them, you know, it was basically a combination of sports and movie trivia, and their responses were interesting, as were the results. We have constructed a list of 30 questions. Now, half of these are sports-related, half of them are movie-related, and what we're going to do is we're going to ask the four champions the same questions, and whoever gets the most right of these questions will be declared the winner.
Get ready for the highlight reel!
Y'all ready for this?
Contestant number one!
Is this David?
This is David.
You are the champion of Elliot's League, is that correct?
Yes.
The awesome team name of Vagabond Pillager.
Contestant number two!
Hello, is this Brian?
This is
also Brian. How are you today, sir?
Good.
Well, he's Brian with a Y.
What?
Yep.
That is unacceptable. You're actually the champion of Adam's League, right?
That's correct, yeah.
Hey, Adam, you didn't win your own league.
Ah, fuck you.
Contestant number three.
I have the questions up here, so Scott, are you ready to roll?
Smiling, I hope you have the touch. And you never give up and you never give in.
He hung up. As soon as he heard you quoting the fucking Transformers animated movie, he just hung up.
Contestant number four.
Blake Salisbury?
Stop it.
Yeah.
You know how to pronounce that shit. And Blake, this is very important to note, because you are, in fact, my brother. Have you had any advanced knowledge of these questions?
No, absolutely not. I have no idea what to expect.
In fact, we didn't even give Elliot advance notice of the questions. Question numero uno. Who is the round mound of rebound?
Charles Barkley?
That is correct!
That is correct.
This is a sports nickname question. Who is the round mound of rebound?
No clue.
Who is the round mound of rebound?
I don't know. I guess Marcus Smart. I don't know.
Whose wrestling finishing move is called the stunner?
I haven't watched wrestling in about 10 years. CM Punk?
Whose wrestling finishing move is called the stunner?
Wrestling? We're going... Oh, Jesus Christ.
Wow, you sound like all of the commenters.
Super Macho Man. I don't know.
See, now you got me thinking. In wrestling, when it was the WWF, was there Macho Man and Super Macho Man? Was that like Macho Man with sour cream and tomatoes? Whose wrestling finishing move is called the stunner?
You guys got me on wrestling.
Do you know of wrestlers? Do you know a name that you can just say?
I don't
say?
Know. Why did you sound like a 13th century minstrel? Do you know of wrestlers? Whose wrestling finishing move is called the stunner?
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
That is correct. When the original Cleveland Browns left Ohio, what team did they become?
Baltimore Ravens.
That is correct. Right. When the original Cleveland Browns left Ohio, what team did they become?
The Cincinnati Bengals.
That would actually be the ultimate insult, but in fact it was the Baltimore Ravens.
Yep.
It would be doubly insulting considering they were already the Cincinnati Bengals. It's like, we're just going to join your team. Instead of continuing to play for Cleveland, we're just going to double up, so like we'll be the B squad. When the original Cleveland Browns left Ohio, what team did they become?
No idea. Browns.
Wait, so you think the Cleveland Browns left Ohio and became the Browns?
Well, they suck, you know what? I'm not really a hardcore sports fanatic, I just kind of
play fantasy football and
win. Yeah, no, this is making me feel great about the fact that none of us won our own fucking conferences. Good job, guys. We're letting a bunch of novices. Like, I think the football is the one with the laces on it, right?
Yeah.
Those people are beating us at fantasy football. I just want to make that entirely and abundantly clear. What does the abbreviation OCP stand for? I guess we should say, in RoboCop, what does the abbreviation OCP stand for?
Because technically, you could just make
shit
up.
Yeah, it could be anything. So, in RoboCop, what does the abbreviation OCP stand for?
It doesn't stand for all I bought that for a dollar, that's for sure.
In RoboCop, what does the abbreviation OCP stand for? He's drinking himself to death. Can you hear that? He's like, fuck this. Fuck all you guys. This is clearly rigged. What is the name of the tower in Die Hard?
Nakatomi.
How many evil exes did Scott Pilgrim have to defeat in Scott Pilgrim vs. the World?
7.
That is correct. And you actually made this the 7th question, JC. You do a lot of things subconsciously with these questions.
This is the weird rabbit hole of my train of thought.
Yeah.
It's like playing a beautiful mind. If that beautiful mind had a layer of cheese on it. What
ends in cats.
Ends in cats. What actor played the final villain that Riggs and Murtaugh ever defeated in the Lethal Weapon franchise?
Jet Li.
That's correct.
Yes,
that's
correct.
Well done. Pesci's inability to use a camera was actually the last villain they tangled with.
They never defeated him.
They never defeated that. All right. What was the name of the killer clown in Stephen King's It?
Wasn't it?
It was not. It was actually Pennywise. Wasn't it? What film represented John Woo's American debut?
Face Off.
It was actually Hard Target.
That's why I put that in there. It's going to trick people.
Yeah, well, good, because the rest of this is just way too fucking easy. Thanks, JC, dick. So there you have it. A tough-fought competition, to be certain, and next week we shall reveal the name of the grand prize winner. I want to reiterate that every single one of our conference champions is going to walk away with something cool. Even the prize for last place is pretty fucking epic, and we will get into that next week. Before we go, I thought it would be fun to play a little game called How Bad the Cavs. Yeah, so the Cleveland Cavaliers, as we mentioned earlier, have not done well in the post-LeBron era, but this year is kind of a new low. More specifically, a few nights ago, they reached rock bottom. So they were playing the Los Angeles Lakers. JC, take us through exactly what happened here.
So the Lakers began the game with 8 players because they have a myriad of injuries. At one point, Nick Young went out with a knee injury and...
Wait, not Swaggy P.
Not Swaggy, yeah.
Say it ain't so.
Swaggy P, knee injury. And another Laker went out with a knee injury. And then Chris Kaman and Robert Sacra... say your last name.
That's how deep into the bench they were getting. The guys whose names you're just like, who the fuck is that?
And if I don't know who they are, it's saying.
Yeah, if JC doesn't know who they are, then they're...
So Chris came and fouled out, and so they were left with 5 players. And then all of a sudden, Robert Sacra fouls out.
So they have 4 players.
And they did technically finish the game with 5, but because the rules state that you have to finish a game with 5 players. But so what would have happened for those 3 minutes... anytime Sacre would have fouled again, it would have been a regular foul plus a technical foul for having a disqualified player. But yeah, basically the Cavaliers lost to 4 Lakers.
So let me see if I understand this correctly. So the Lakers are playing with a reduced squad.
Yeah.
In a situation where normally in the real world, you know, you get down to those 4 players and it's like, okay, it's a forfeit. Winners still go to Shakey's Pizza and the losers eat orange slices because the game is over. But they had to leave a 5th player in, but every single time he committed a foul, it was a technical shooting foul, like uncontested shooting foul.
Yeah.
So in other words, should have been a fucking cakewalk for any team except the Cleveland Cavaliers, who still managed to lose by, what was it, 12 points?
By 12 points, yeah.
12 points to an incomplete team.
Kobe-less, too.
Are you fucking kid, yeah, if it was like all of the Cleveland Cavaliers versus Kobe, okay, maybe. Yeah. Maybe that's even. But like, seriously, you get the third stringers, four third stringers, and a guy who every time he fouls is giving you two free buckets.
I think Mark Cooper was out there.
I wish this was a joke. I wish we were making this entire story up because it sounds made up.
No, fuck the Cavaliers.
It sounds like a joke, but it really happened. But speaking of jokes, this loss led to our plumbing that great philosophical quandary, how bad the Cavs.
How bad can I possibly be?
You know what, Adam? How bad are the Cleveland Cavaliers?
The Cavs are so bad. They've considered handicapping them 30 free points under a new rule called Contra Code.
Elliot, how bad are the Cavs?
They're so bad, they make the second season of Lost look good.
Jesus. JC, how bad are the Cavs?
The Cavaliers are so bad, the movie about them made about this season would be directed by Friedberg and Seltzer.
That's bad.
The Cavs are so bad, they just added a laugh track to their three-point shooting. Adam, how bad the Cavs?
The Cavs, you know what? The Cavs are so bad, the shooting is so cold, they can safely move the blob out of the Arctic now.
Oof, that is inside baseball stuff. I like that a lot. Elliot, how bad the Cavs?
The Cavs are so bad, they make the TARDIS look smaller on the inside.
JC, how bad the Cavs?
Cavaliers are so bad, they took a cue from Shia LaBeouf and started wearing bags on their heads saying, I am not a Cleveland Cavalier anymore.
The Cleveland Cavs are so bad, the only person with worse rebounding skills is Jennifer Aniston.
Ooh.
Adam, how bad the Cavs?
Man, this team is so bad, and the team is in such desperation that they're looking for an answer. They're going to use one of the draft picks on Michael J. Fox, hoping that Teen Wolf is a documentary.
Elliot, how bad the Cavs?
They're so bad that Mr. Rogers doesn't even think they're special.
Whew. JC, how bad the Cavs?
The Cavaliers are so bad and so lacking of a physical presence, they are going to draft Michael Sam.
And I will wrap this up Johnny Carson style, since that's what we've been doing this entire round. The Cleveland Cavs are so bad. That's a terrible Carson. Never mind.
That's more of a Letterman.
That's weird, wild stuff. The Cleveland Cavaliers are so bad, a 19-year-old season ticket holder decided not to go to the most recent game and instead took his grandmother to a screening of Lars von Trier's Nymphomaniac because it was, quote, less embarrassing. Ladies and gentlemen, that's how bad the Cavs. I am sorry. If you're from Cleveland and that's your favorite team, I'm sorry on a lot of levels, not just for making fun of them tonight. Anyway, before we go, we have a big announcement that we need to make. Starting next week, Inside the Locker is moving in a radical new direction. We're going to be bringing back on a grand scale a game that we put together over Christmas. Yes, back in December, so I guess the radical new direction is backwards. Anywho, taking this opportunity to announce the totally accurate, desperately important Inside the Locker Movie Elimination Tournament! It is a thing that we are doing. It'll work like this. So basically, it's like March Madness, which is why we're moving forward on it in February. We'll go through the various genres of film and put together an NCAA tournament bracket with matchups based on incontrovertible rankings. Yes, don't even try to controvert them. We'll then reveal the rankings and the brackets, allowing you, the readers, to vote and decide which films advance to the second round. So you guys are going to decide the first round. You're going to say, okay, of these matchups, you know, based on votes, these are the movies that advance. From there, each of the four doofusi at this table will be assigned a grouping of the films and will engage in a series of debates against their contending films, and a third-party judge will decide which pundit put forth the best case, and that movie will advance. The great thing about this is, much like March Madness, the debate element means that the better movie on paper may not necessarily be the movie that advances. I mean, as we found out over the holidays.
When Harold and Kumar beat It's a Wonderful Life.
Harold and Kumar 3D made it to the finals of the Christmas movie tournament based on the argument, which is what's so much fun about this. This is how you can have, like, Butler going to the finals 2 years in a row. This is how you can have Wichita State in the Final Four, although this year it looks like they might do it again.
Gonzaga.
This movie tournament is the Gonzaga of movie tournaments. You never know what's going to fucking happen. So we hope that you enjoy this new series of totally accurate, desperately important Inside the Locker Movie Elimination Tournaments. And we would love suggestions from you in the comment section as to which specific genres to examine. Because we're not just going to do action. We're not just going to do drama. We're going to do things like, you know, we could even do one that's best Die Hard ripoff, since, you know, we've talked a lot about Die Hard ripoffs.
I'm sure there's anime. 64 of those.
Yeah, there may be 64 of those, and we may have to do a smaller tournament. Like, if we get real niche, like if we're like 80s post-apocalyptic Italian sci-fi movies.
Jesus Christ.
It may be a smaller, it may
there's
be a smaller
definitely
bracket.
64 of those.
Yes. But that's the fun thing, is we can bring in, you know, guest pundits, we can bring in guest judges. Like, you never know who might turn up for that. Even people who have nothing to do with sports, who have no interest in sports. And that's actually part of the fun of it as well, is this show is really going to, especially during the run of this series, going to be catering to people who really don't know anything about sports and are more interested in movies and geeky things like that. But the sports comes in the structure by which we do it. So it's going to be fun. That's going to do it for this engaging and enraging episode of Inside the Locker. I want to remind you yet again, you can follow the show on Twitter at ITLcast. You can also follow us individually. I am at RyGuySalisbury.
At JCDeLeon1.
At ITLElliot. And I just got 100 followers today.
Thanks, Duddits.
I'm sorry. I'm just really excited.
At like D_beef.
It's like a shit weasel is going to come out of his ass. You need to watch Dreamcatcher if you haven't seen it.
I know what you're talking about.
Oh, this is fun. You can also follow the website on Facebook, facebook.com/oneofusnet. And like I said before, this show, just like all of our content, is available on iTunes. Guys, any closing thoughts before we end the show?
Nope. Yeah, Jeets.
Yeah, Jeets. Oh.
Just thank you, everybody, for listening, sincerely.
Yeah. No, and again, guys, even if you've kind of kept the show at an arm's length because you don't care about sports, I highly, highly encourage you to take part in the movie elimination tournaments. They're going to be a lot of fun. But for JC, for Elliot, for Adam, this is Brian Salisbury reminding you, sports, not just for jocks anymore.